It's a real joy today to begin another week of broadcasting the glorious gospel of Christ, as well as instructions from the Word of God as to what a Christian ought to be. And we're in the book of 1 Peter now, and so consequently we're finding a message to Christians. Now, of course, I try to give the gospel from time to time, but primarily in these verses that we're preaching from, there's instructions to Christians and admonition to Christians and encouragement to Christians. And, of course, I have mostly Christians listening to the program. So it's a joy to be back with you this week. Now, I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 again. We were there all last week, and I just want to try to cover the ground and not bore you with this, but there's so much material here that we just feel like we ought to give you some things that are prevalent in your day and mine. That's what I have been doing in the latter part of last week. Now, we got down in verse 5 of chapter 2, 1 Peter, we got down to, "We are built up a spiritual house." Now, I spent a lot of time explaining to you about the building of the house, the church of the living God, whose house you are, and that kind of thing. We are the body of Christ, and we are none alike, but we are the body of Christ and holy priesthood. Then I explained to you that we individually are priests and that Jesus Christ is the high priest, not Peter. And I show you Peter's own expression of that as we go through these verses. He was not a high priest. He's claiming here that we are part of the priesthood of the born-again children of God during the church age when Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He is our mediator. And Mary is not our mediator, Jesus is, the Bible says. And he is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The Holy Spirit lives within us, God in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And while we are priests upon this earth, that's everybody, every person, every born-again child of God, that means that we do not go to an earthly high priest. As much as I believe in pastoral authority, and I believe that, I believe the Bible teaches that we are to be under the subjection and the authority of our pastor. And I believe that the pastor will give an account for the things that they do or teach people to do whenever the people do them at the pastor's admonition. I believe the pastor will give an account of that. But at the same time, every one of us are priests. The pastor is not our priest. We are priests. The pastor is our shepherd. He is our leader. He is not our priest. And we ourselves are priests. Now, you say, "Well, boy, that's great. That's wonderful. Now I can just decide for myself what I want to do, and I can decide for myself which way is right, and I can forgive my own sins." Well, I've got news for you. There's no priest ever been able to forgive sins except Jesus Christ. There's no priest in Israel nor anywhere else. In the New Testament, in Israel, in present-day religion, there is no priest that's ever been able to forgive your sins. Only Jesus can do that. So don't stick your head up and say, "Now, I'm free." You are free in Christ. But don't stick your head up and say, "I'm free. I can live like I want to, and it's none of anybody's business." Because it is somebody's business. It's the church's business. And it's the church's business to discipline you if you don't live right. If you continue to drink, and it's a church's business to discipline you and bring you before the church, and if you don't quit, to kick you out of the church. Now, those are not theological terms, but dismiss you or excommunicate you, if you want to use that word. So what you do touches the whole body of Christ. But at the same time, you are a priest, and you have certain priestly liberties in your own life. But you're not to take advantage of that liberty in order to sin. Now, you'd have to be pretty unwise not to understand that. You'd really have to be twisting your mind not to understand that your being a priest does not give you liberty to sin. It does not give you liberty to make up your own mind apart from the Word of God what is right and what is wrong. It gives you liberty to live a life that might be a little bit different, as a stone is different from another stone, as a finger is different from the hand, as the leg is different from the shoulder. It might give you a little bit of liberty to take some good things that other people don't care for, but it certainly does not give you liberty to sin. Nothing gives you that liberty. Nor no one gives you that liberty to sin. Now, I want to hurry because I've let this day go by too. To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, I was saying as I went off the air yesterday that many people offer their tithe in the church and it's not a sacrifice for them. But we're to offer spiritual sacrifices. A sacrifice is something that costs you something. And every born-again child of God, with this wonderful, marvelous position as being a priest under the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to continue to offer sacrifices. Not lambs and bullocks and goats, but ourselves unto Him. And everything that we are, and have been, and will be unto Him. Spiritual sacrifices. A person that claims to be a Christian and never makes a sacrifice for God is a person that is not carrying out his position as priesthood, as part of the priesthood of God. Now, that's just as plain as it can be to me. I certainly hope it's plain to you. We are to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In other words, we are to constantly be making sacrifices. Sacrifices of our time. Sacrifices of our money. Sacrifices of our feelings, sacrifices of our desires, sacrifices of our wants. We never have to make sacrifices of our needs, but sometimes we ought to make some sacrifices of our wants in order that somebody else might have their needs. Am I getting to you? Are you hearing me? We are to make spiritual sacrifices. And those spiritual sacrifices that we make show us to be a part of this priesthood and holy nation that God is building up during this church age. Be with us tomorrow. We'll look forward to speaking with you then.